Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together, may you illuminate to our hearts and our minds and our very soul what you want us to hear as individual Christians and as individual Christians who are part of a community of faith, the church, that we might be more like what you want us to be. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Two standards usually when you preach on tithing. A, you're going to have a first-time visitor, and B, it's going to get quiet at some point in the sermon that you could hear a pin drop on carpet. So just be prepared for that. We probably have a first-time visitor. Our text today is Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, the widow's gift. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasure, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Dynamic Christians generously give to God through his church. Dynamic Christians generously give to God through his church. Now notice Jesus is watching the way people put money into the offering for the temple. And it's interesting, they had what they were called trumpets. They were brass. And so the way you put the money in there made a lot more noise because they didn't have paper money. So you could put them in there quietly or, you know, knowing some of my friends, they'd take all their dollars and have them turned into pennies where they'd make a lot of noise, where it sounded like you're giving a lot. But he was watching the way people put in money. And that's not an image we usually have of Jesus. And he saw the rich put in, and then this little widow gave two small copper coins. And Jesus said that she gave more than all the rest because they gave out of their surplus, she gave out of her poverty. Now, there's two ways of looking at all the rest. You can look at it that she gave more than each individual person, or she gave more than all of them together because they gave out of their surplus and she gave out of her poverty. She gave all that she had to live on. Now, to me, that's faith, to trust God with all that she had. We're an affluent church, in case you missed that. Pretty much, Thomasville is an affluent town. I came from an affluent church, Wilmington Island. You don't live on Wilmington Island if you're poor. A starter home, about 1,100 square feet, built in the 50s or 60s, is $135,000 on Wilmington Island. I know that because our youth minister bought one, and it's the only piece of property he could find that he could afford on the island. We live in an affluent community and an affluent church. I'm not saying they're not poor people in the community, and I'm not saying they're not some poor people in the church, but we're an affluent church. That means we have surplus. Now, Jamie touched on one of the things I like to talk about. We need to look at the abundance we have, not what we don't have. Our culture teaches the opposite. Look at all these shiny cars you don't have. Look at this things you don't have. Look at this big house you don't have, because we live in a marketing culture that wants you to buy, 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 buy. And it makes sense, because 70% of our national income is from consumerism. We're big consumers. 70% of our economy is from us buying stuff. We're an affluent country. Doesn't mean there aren't any poor people. There are poor people in this country. There are poor people in this community. I'm sure there's poor people in this church. But we give to God generously through his church. The minister shared this story. He was not a pastor. He was on church staff, had two sons. They both grown up. They both had families. He had taught them to tithe. A tithe, by the way, is 10% of your gross income. It's the only place in the world people will ask gross versus net. Do I tithe on my net or tithe on my gross? Tithe on your gross. When somebody asks you what you make, do you tell them your net? No, you tell them your gross. Does Uncle Sam tax you on your net? No, you're gross. I always get tickled that question in church. And anyway, these adults, and they had them home for Christmas, and they were raised and reared in the church because he was a minister. And one of the sons was very faithful to be there with his wife and his children to set a good example for his kids. The other husband, son, wife was there. The kids probably 4 out of 5 Sundays, but he, when it was convenient, you know, those holy Sundays like Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, those kind of holy Sundays, and whenever else it was convenient. And the sons had a sibling rivalry, and they would, one of them would make fun of the other one about going to church too much. He was missing out too much on the golf game and all that stuff. And the father and the mother were there, and it was Christmas, and they were at the table seated, and the father said, I want to share something with y'all. Your mother and I have decided we're no longer going to tithe to the church. And the son, who didn't go to church real regularly, started smiling. He was so happy. And the other son looked puzzled and was questioning. And he said, the father goes, your mother and I have decided that y'all are grown. We've got more things than we could possibly need. So we're going to commit to give 25% of our income to the church now because we can afford to do that. Well, the expressions on the son's changed. The son that was faithful in church was grinning now. And the son who wasn't too faithful was like, what, are you out of your mind? And the father shared, this minister shared this story with us. No, we're called to be generous in our response to God. When we look at what God asks us to do for him, I mean, after all, he's given us the universe we enjoy. He's given us physical health for most of us. He's given us spiritual health. He's forgiven our sins if we're Christians. We have eternal life if we're Christians. And he blesses us. And he's been very generous with us, and we're to be generous to him through his church. Some friends of mine say, well, James, anything I give to any charitable organization counts as my tithe. And I say, no, the tithe is to be brought to the storehouse, God's house. And you're supposed to give to those other things also. That's on top of. We're called to be generous in our giving. In fact, the tithe, 10% of your gross income, is an Old Testament standard. The New Testament standard is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where God, Paul, challenges us, gives us the example of the Macedonians who gave out of their poverty and urged us to take their money, but we said no, and they urged us to take more and more and more. Man, I'd like to have a few church members like that. I have had church members like that, by the way. I just didn't know who they were. This financial secretary did, and when we had a special need, she'd make a phone call and the money would be there. We're challenging you, if you give 2%, to think about giving 3 or 4% of your income. If you give 0%, think about giving 2%. If you're giving 2 or 3 or 4, think about 5 or 6. If you're giving 5 or 6, think about 6 or 7. If you're thinking about giving 6 or 7, think about 8 and 9. If you're giving 8 and 9, think about 10. If you're giving 10, think about 11 or 12. It's about growing in our faith, growing in our discipleship. But just as dynamic Christians generously give to God through his church, dynamic Christians joyfully give to God through his church. Dynamic Christians joyfully give to God through his church. I want you to think about this. This widow gave all that you had to God. Do you think she did it begrudgingly? You don't give somebody everything you have with a bad attitude. You give it joyfully or you wouldn't do it. I mean, do y'all joyfully give to your children or do it begrudgingly? You joyfully help your children, don't you? Yeah. She gave everything she had to God. Do you think she did it begrudgingly? No, she did it joyfully, or else she wouldn't have done it. We know it was everything she had because Jesus said she gave all that she had to live on. What remarkable faith. I was pastoring a church in Texas. I'd like to tell you it was in the city. It wasn't. It was out on the road. Small church. And we had a lady that was, I'm telling you, I think she could convert a lamppost to be a Christian. She was the strongest personal witness I've ever known. She came in. She was so excited. I went to visit this new neighbor in our neighborhood. And I said, yeah. And the wife accepted Christ. I said, super. What's her name? You got to come into church. Yeah, she's going to be at church. She's going to come to my Tuesday Bible study I do with the ladies. I said, that's great. She came. She joined the church. She started going to the Bible study. She was in Sunday school class. She came on Sunday nights. She came on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Something was wrong with this woman. And she was so excited, and her husband didn't like it. He had retired, and he liked to drink and party and wanted no part of the church. And finally, he kicked her out of the home and divorced her. He kicked her out, and the woman says, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to find her a place to live. And she said, that's what I thought you'd say. How are we going to do it? I said, we'll get a bunch of the ladies together, and we got some money in the church. We'll help her with it. You find her a place to live, and the women found her a place to live. The church and the ladies took up a collection, and we got her deposit paid and her first and last month's rent. And then the lady said, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. For 30-plus years, all I've done is clean house and sew and take care of children and a husband. I said, well, we need a janitor in the church, so we hired her. I said, a bunch of women in this church need their houses cleaned. We put out the word. She got a bunch of jobs cleaning houses. She was a great seamstress. She started sewing for some of the ladies. And it all came together. And I'm thinking, boy, God's really working this out. And she came in, and my secretary told me, Miss Edith, it's the one that led her to Christ, by the way. Miss Edith came in and said, now, preacher, she's going to come by. I don't know when she was. She wasn't sure. She's between cleaning houses and drop off some sewing she did for me. And if you're here, the money's over here in the envelope. And I said, okay. And I said, leave it in the drawer. I know better than mess with a woman's money. And I wasn't going to mess with that. I had three older sisters. And I wasn't messing with her money. I said, okay, I'll tell her where it is. And, well, Edith came back, and the lady hadn't come by. And I'm going to call her Miss Doris. It wasn't her name. Miss Doris came by with the sewing, and they did their little talking and all. And then she said, I got to go clean another house. I'll see you later. And she was gone. And then Miss Edith came into my office just crying and tears rolling down her eyes. And I was like, here's some Kleenex. What's going on? Have a seat. And I was thinking, I said, well, did she do a terrible job? Did she mess it up? What's the problem? No, it's not that. Okay. And she cried and cried. And I said, well, when she got to where she could talk, she said, it was so touching. And I went, okay. So she didn't mess anything up. No, preacher. I went, okay. Well, what's going on? Well, when I paid her her money, she took some of the money I paid her and took out an envelope and stuck it in that other envelope and closed it up and put it in another part of her purse. And you know what I'm like. Miss Edith had the curiosity of a cat. Someday it was going to kill her. She said, well, what's that other envelope for? She said, that's for God. I don't want to spend God's money. I want to make sure I have that when I come to church Sunday. And I'm thinking, this lady who's been kicked out, gone through all this stuff, didn't want to spend God's money accidentally. So she set it aside so when she went to church, she would have it to give to God. I think that's the attitude of this widow here. I'm sure this widow had the attitude, I wish I had more to give. We're asked to be joyful, generous givers. As Christians, we're supposed to be marked as generous folks, not only at church with our money, but with our time, with our talents, with our service, helping others, being involved in helping others, and uplifting, positive, generous, joyful people. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians in every aspect of our life. As Jamie said, John, 1 John says, we're to walk like Christ walked. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and care about us and want the very best for us. We're humbled, Lord, by your grace and your love. We're humbled that we have the opportunity to serve you and that we have the opportunity to be generous with you and with others and to be joyful as we give of our time, our talents, our gifts, and our money. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.